mantled the entire apparatus of the game. In that same moment I realized that I hated them more than I hated Rivage. But he'd get his, too. Still kneeling beneath the waterline, I closed my fists around the edges of the aperture and thrust myself into the building's interior. I could not have been beneath the water for more than a few seconds, but I slammed upwards with so much anger and relief that I almost screamed as air rushed into my mouth. But apart from gasping, I made as little noise as possible. I found a relatively dry ledge and hauled myself from the murk, and there, for long moments, I just lay, until my breathing settled down and enough oxygen reached my brain for it to resume the business of thinking, rather than simply keeping me alive. I heard voices and shots outside, louder now, and sporadically, blue light stabbed through rents in the building, making my eyes sting. When the darkness resumed, I looked up and saw something. It was faint, fainter in fact than I had imagined any visible object could possibly be. I had read that the human retina was, in principle, capable of detecting only 2 or 3 photons at a time, if conditions of sufficient sensitivity were reached. I had also heard, and met, soldiers who claimed extraordinary night vision, soldiers who spent every hour in darkness for fear of losing their acclimatization. I'd never been one of them. What I was looking at was a staircase, or the ruined skeleton of what had once been a staircase, a spiral thing ribbed by cross members, which reached a landing and then climbed higher towards an irregular gash of pale light, against which it was silhouetted. "He's inside. Thermal trace in the water." That was Sibylline's voice, or someone who sounded very much like her, with the same tone of arrogant surety. Now a man spoke, knowingly. "That's unusual for a mulch. They don't like the insides, usually. Too many ghost stories."
"It isn't just ghost stories. There are pigs down here. We should be careful, too."
"How are we going to get in? I'm not going in that water, no matter what the blood money is."
"I have structural maps of this one. There's another route on the other side. Better hurry, though. Scammelson's team are only a block down trace, and they've got better sniffers."
I heaved myself from the ledge and moved towards the lower end of the ruined staircase. I hit it too soon, judging the distance poorly, but it was growing clearer all the time. I could see that it climbed 10 or 15 meters above me before vanishing through a sagging, dough-like ceiling, which more resembled a stomach diaphragm than anything architectural. What I could not tell, for all my visual acuity, was how near my chasers were, or how structurally sound the staircase was going to be. If it collapsed while I was climbing, I would fall into the flood, but the water would be too shallow for the drop to be endured without some kind of injury. Still, I climbed, using the ghostly banister where it existed, heaving myself across gaps in the treads, or where there were no treads at all. The staircase creaked, but I just kept on, even when the tread on which I'd just placed my weight shattered and dropped into the water. Below me, light filled the chamber, and then black-clad figures emerged through a hole in one wall, trudging through the water. I could see them quite clearly, Fischetti and Sibylline, both masked and carrying enough firepower for a small war. I paused on the landing I'd reached. There was darkness on either side of me, but even as I looked at it, details began to emerge from the blackness, like solidifying phantoms. I thought about going left or right rather than higher, knowing that I'd have to make the decision quickly, and that I didn't want to get trapped in a dead end. Then something else emerged.